This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
But I'm going to talk to you from my heart. I have such a sense that God wants to change the hearts of men and women in ways that have to do with the issues that we deal with. We're all challenged in different ways for healing, for deliverance, for the ability to do all that God has created us to do, the call that is on your life, the gifts that God has given you. I'm so acutely aware, but I don't know that you are, that God didn't just call pastors, teachers, prophets, etc. He called the body of Christ. And he called you to be all that he's gifted you and called you to be. I am amazed at how God uses all of you in the various ways that you are used in the kingdom of God. And it remains to be seen all that he has for you. And I want you to be unencumbered, unweighted down with despair, depression, a sense of foreboding, a sense of hopelessness, a sense of condemnation, guilt, because of the humanity that we are and that we carry in us. There are two natures in us. We have the old man that is the flesh, that unregenerative part of us that is the soul of man. The soul is a tripart thing. It is, I am a spirit. I possess a soul, which is my mind, my emotions, and my ability to choose. And I live in a body. But the truth of the matter is that I need to take authority over that soulish part of me. I am born again. I am a spirit. Okay? But the truth of the matter is that my spirit's born again. And Jesus rules on the throne of my spirit. But every day when I wake up, the book of James tells me, it says, I have to kill the flesh. I have to save my soul. And how do I do that? I do that by renewing myself in the spirit of my mind. Now, I have a brain, I have a computer, but the spirit of my mind is that part of me that is the human conscience that, in our case, born-again Christians, is infilled and indwelled by the Holy Spirit himself, representing Jesus and the Father. And so I have the benefit of the Holy Spirit's wisdom and his power in my human conscience, in my human spirit, okay? And so my spirit needs every morning to take authority and charge over my soulish parts, my mind and my emotions and my will. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the soul is tripartite. It is my mind, my emotions, my ability to choose, and I am tripartite. I am a spirit, I possess a soul, and I live in a body. But you understand, I possess a soul. I am a spirit, I possess my soul. My soul, my mind, my human thinking, my fallen appetites, they don't tell me what to do. I tell them what to do. So, the Lord is very aware of this, and he says we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Okay? And in doing that, we're going to have to realize the enemy's approach to us is to try to let our soul rule us and condemnation to rule us. We will make mistakes. We will fall from time to time, but I don't have to keep falling. I have never murdered anybody, and I never will in Jesus' name. So why do I need to continue to fall into pornography? Well, I just can't help myself. Yes, you can. How many of you understand? We don't need to sin. I may have a propensity to sin that if I'm not renewed in my thinking, somebody say amen, I can yield to that, but I don't have to yield to it. I don't ever have to sin in that way ever again. Oh, somebody give the Lord praise for that. I can be free from any sin and weight that leads to sin, that so easily besets my soulish parts. I hope you're hearing me today. and keeps me in condemnation and guilt, and therefore a lack of faith to do what God's called me to do. Because you need to hear this, no matter where you are in life or what you failed to do or you succeeded to do, God has a plan for your life. Okay? And so I want to talk about some of these things. The title of the message is Looking at Jesus. Looking at Jesus. Now, along the lines of how we get frustrated with the soulish part of our lives. You understand, the soul is my unregenerated thinking, my unregenerated emotions. My emotions aren't saved until I save them. How do I save them? By the renewing of my mind. I replace my natural human thoughts with His supernatural Word of God thoughts. I'm not what my emotions tell me or my mind, my natural mind. You know, I get up in the morning, look everyone, and I say, "You fat thing, you." I mean, that's the thought that comes to my mind. Now, don't you look at me funny. You women, a lot of you do the same thing. And you don't, and you know what? You're believing a lie because you ain't fat anyway. Oh, I ain't going to go there. You understand what I'm saying? Your natural mind will lie to you. In fact, it rarely fails to lie. Hello? It always dwells on the bottom of the barrel. It tries to make you think that's all there is. You listen to your thinking, your unsaved thinking, and you'll be depressed all the days of your life. Oh, but I have good news. Greater is He that is in me. He didn't create me and then see the fall and then just leave me. Oh, He sent His Son, Jesus. And every morning I need to get up and look at Jesus. Because when I look at Jesus, He says, look into the mirror of the Word and you'll see Him. You'll see yourself as He sees you. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. When I look at me, I need to see Jesus. As He is in the world, so am I, the Bible says. When I look at me, I need to see Jesus. I need to see His reflection. I am made like Him. Are you listening? He made me in His image, He and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And when you start listening to your unregenerated mind say, you ain't nothing and you ain't this, you're talking about God's creation. Now you need to put that thinking down and be renewed, as Ephesians says, in the spirit of your mind. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of your God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable worship. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, and you can get up in the morning and you can renew your mind and you can go on the highway and somebody cuts you off and gives you a happy sign. And the devil rises up. You thought you put him down and you come out and after you've chased him and been tempted or maybe did run him off the road. Nobody here would do that. Are you listening? You need to understand that thing can rise up at any time. But the Bible says you can tell him, no, I don't have to listen to you. I've got one greater inside of me, and I'm going to yield to him. We are who we yield ourselves to. We are what we think about ourselves. We are what we say we are. I can do what he said I was created to do. I can act like he created me to act. I don't have to take the bait. But there are times when I do that I feel guilt and condemnation. And so, let's go ahead. Let's read the first verse, chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The problem is, that's the answer. The problem is, in the previous verses of chapter 7, let's begin to read those, okay? I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Say, in my flesh, without the Spirit of God empowering me, helping me. Next verse. I love God's law with all my heart. My spirit loves God. And it wants to do well. Amen. Okay, read on. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind, the spirit of my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me unchecked, unless you check it. Read on. But there, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. But, read on. Now we go back to verse 8. Verse 1. So there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Read verse 2. Did you get in there? Who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, it's my choice. Say, it's my choice. Everybody say, the art of living clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. I'm going to give you an analogy of who we are. It has to do with what Jesus says, how a man should treat his wife. And it patterns it after how Jesus treats his bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride of Christ. There's no gender here. It is simply that we are betrothed to him. And he washes us. He loves us. He cleanses us. He cares for us. He protects us. He provides for us. All the things that a husband desires to do to the one that is so beautiful and he is in such love with. That is the way Jesus looks at you. Let's read. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That he might sanctify, say sanctify, and cleanse, say and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. The word is a washing, cleansing agent. The word can change your thinking. The word can take the thoughts that are making you feel dirty and causing you to feel like you're headed in the wrong direction. But just reading that word, it has power in it. And he begins to wash you and cleanse you. If you're dealing with resentment, have you ever noticed? You need to read God's word until he speaks to you. You're dealing with resentment, you've forgiven, and you're trying to put it away, but oh, it rises up, but you just get the word out, and you start reading about the Spirit of the Lord. He says, the Spirit, and the Spirit of God's grace that is in you, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and temperance, and faith, and as you begin to speak those words, patience begins to come over you, and healing begins to come over you, and long-suffering begins to come over you, and self-control begins to come over you. I don't know how it happens. Oh, yes, I do. It's alive with the Holy Spirit. And dead words on a page can become living words that change my thinking and my opinions about myself and certainly about others. Say supernatural. Say supernatural. The good news is you were never intended to have to change yourself by yourself. Let me go a step further. You are never, he saw what was coming, and he never intended you to go through this by yourselves. Lift your hands and thank him that he is the tender washing of the water of the word. His word heals. It cuts going in and heals going out. It's a mood-altering substance. His word is alive. The entrance of thy word gives me light. And it makes revelation come to the simple. Hallelujah. Anybody feel simple sometimes? Oh, but he uncovers his word and his truth. Are you with me? Say yes. Okay, but now let's go a little bit further in this scripture. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church or bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. He came to save us and to present us to himself perfectly. Now hear this, a spotless lamb named Jesus. And now he wants to take us in our imperfect form. He says, oh, no. You didn't hear me. He says, I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to separate you from that nature. And I'm going to make you like me. And we're going to dwell together and be in perfect harmony. It's not ugly with pretty. It's not dirty with clean. It's clean and pretty with clean and pretty. It's powerful with power. Somebody say amen. What does sanctify mean? Let's look at the definition. You getting anything? Sanctify. It means to separate from something. Unto something or someone else. Hallelujah. You then become like the one to whom you have been separated unto. Oh, man. Have you ever noticed how opposites attract? Are you just exactly like your wife? You're just exactly opposite of your wife, aren't you? You? Are you like him exactly? Oh, God, no. Are you like her? You're supposed to say, I wish I was. You know why God brought you together? Because everything you're not, she is. Everything she isn't, you are. You complement each other. You know, if you're not careful when you get married, you'll fight over money and what restaurant you're going to. I don't care where the first 10 years, it don't matter. Wherever you want to go, she don't want to go there. She may say she does, but she don't mean it. And you say, honey, I wanted you to go anywhere you want to go. And she picks, Wiener Schnitzel. You ever try to eat a steak at Wiener Schnitzel? And you're going, oh, okay. Yeah, let's go there. I'm going to fast. I just feel called to Jesus. And you'll fight. Some of the worst fights we've had over what restaurant we were going to go to. That money. But you know what? Have you ever seen those opposites and those people as the years go by and they walk through the joys and they walk through the trials and they walk through the temptations and they walk through the failures and they walk through the successes and they walk through the presence of God, and then the first thing you know, they're washed by the watering of the word, and then the blood cleanses them from all unrighteousness. And you know what? At the end of the day, they look just alike. At the end of years, they think alike. They know what each other's going to say even before they say it. And they look like they were made for each other. You ever notice that? Hallelujah. Oh, I have good news for you. I'm a spouse to Jesus. We couldn't have been more opposite. Oh, but I needed him. But good news, he needed you. He needed me. Hallelujah. And I may have started off totally opposite of him. But now we're walking together in perfect harmony. And it is God's will that I be not separate, but unified and sanctified and set apart to be just like him. He made me in his image. And I have been sanctified unto him. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. But the word cleanses us from the dust and the dirt and the defilements. My sins are forgiven, but I still have to walk in this world. I have to see that guy and not give him a special sign when he cuts me off. What is that? In Europe? Foreign countries? You go in a hotel, you want to watch the sports, you want to watch the news? You can just turn the channel on, and there's not just softcore pornography, there's hardcore pornography on there. Boom! There it is. And it's not just me that's dealt with that. There are others that have dealt with that. Famous people. They walk in there and say, whoa. And they turn it off, and then they start praying, Father, erase that from my mind. Father, forgive me. And you know, the guilt comes. Anybody ever experienced anything like that? The guilt comes. I didn't ask for it. And then I pray, well, Father, forgive me. I want no part of that. But I still feel that dirtiness and that filth and that mess. Now, there's been plenty of times I did it when I wanted to do it, and God delivered me. Somebody say, it's good to be free. In fact, when I see something like now, it doesn't want to draw me. It makes me sick to my stomach. You say, well, you ain't like me. Well, you need to be like Jesus because he's like that. And how many of you really rather be free? How many of you like to be free? Yeah, okay. Well, you'll get there. The point is, though, you know why you can't give for forgiveness? It's because you can't ask for forgiveness something you didn't do. You don't need forgiveness. You know what you need? You need the washing of the water of the word. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Do you know why? Because they walked all day with their sandals and they got dirty. Their feet were filthy. Are you listening? He says, but you know what? You can't leave your feet filthy. You get jungle rot. That was supposed to be funny. Nobody laughed. You know, you can get so involved in this world without the washing of the water of the world. If you keep walking in the everydays, you can walk in and somebody start cussing somebody out at work and you feel filthy. They start cussing you out or they're mad at you and you didn't do anything. But you feel guilty and you feel dirty. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I didn't ask for it. You know what God's word does? When you read his word, it washes. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He cleansed them of the everyday dust and dirt and filth that would have caused them pain and eventually sickness of the soul or the body. Are you listening to me? And when you read God's word, when you hear his voice through his reading of his word, it begins to undefile you. It begins to regenerate you. It causes freshness to come where there was weariness and staleness. Somebody say amen. And when I read the word, when I hear the word, when I turn to Jesus, all the pain and the filth and the guilt falls by the wayside. So I can hear the voice of the word. I can hear. Title is Looking at Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and was not anything made that was made except by the Word of God. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. The Logos is the printed Word. Jesus is the spoken Word. He is the incarnate Word. He is the Word. Now, in the Old Testament, we have the tabernacle and the altar and the laver. The altar was where you came and you were washed. The altar is where you came and you made blood sacrifice. And it was for the forgiveness of sins. But then you went to the laver, which was kind of like a little bird bath area looking thing. And you washed your hands because when you went to the altar, your hands were bloodied from the sacrifices. And then you washed your hands in the laver to clean yourself up before you went in to the holy place, which is the presence of God, where you fully begin to eat and be covered with the oil and see the light of the candles that were in there, you know, and it represented the oil of God, the word of God, the light of God, the revelation of God, the feeding of the showbread, the bread of life was in there, and you were literally going to get nourished and be in the presence of the Lord. You understand? You can't stay healthy unless you're in his presence. And then you went into the Holy of Holies. Say intimacy with God. The blood of animals didn't take away the penalty of sin, but only postponed it for one more year. Priests would go into the Holy of Holies only once a year. But it was only a temporary fix because it didn't wash away, it didn't take away the sin, it just postponed the penalty of sin. Until the ultimate sacrifice would take its place on the tree in Jerusalem. And then the perfect, unblemished sacrifice would be the once and for all last sacrifice for sin that you or I would ever have to make. He became our lamb. He became our spotless lamb. And now I have the privilege to know him and to look to him and to become like him. He wants to be betrothed to me and marry me and you. and he wants us to be like him. And he needs us, and he loves us because he made us like him. He wants us to be returned to that spotless state. The blood of the animals didn't take away the penalty, but only postponed it for a year. Jesus' blood would ultimately take away the penalty for the sin upon our lives. But they had to wash with water first. Why? Because we need the everyday cleansing of his word and his presence in order to stay clean and navigate through life remaining clean. The art of remaining clean is important because it keeps his refreshing on you. It keeps you from having stagnated thinking. It keeps you from losing your hope. It keeps you from losing your perspective. You're going through a season of life and it's ugly. It's rough, but you need the washing of the water of the word in order for it to refresh your opinion of what your future is. I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Not thoughts of a catastrophe, but thoughts of a future and a hope. Hallelujah. When you read God's word, I'm talking about looking to Jesus. You need to read God's word until he speaks. Until he speaks. Until he speaks. Every morning when I read, I want to read until he speaks to me. It may be a chapter. It may be a verse. It may be five chapters. But I'm looking to hear his voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because his word speaks to you. When it changes from the written word, the logos, and becomes a rhema, a spoken word, it changes your thinking, doesn't it? It changes your opinion. It changes your sense of foreboding to hope and to faith. You know why? Because you're partaking and eating Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the word of God. Are you listening? I am partaking of him. And therefore, I'm eating him. I'm being nourished by him. I'm becoming more like him. I need that constant intimacy. That interaction with him, and it begins to change me. It begins to change me. Hallelujah. Say the word. Say the presence. Say looking to Jesus. Jesus paid a big price for us on the Calvary's tree for us not to benefit from the sacrifice that he made. He paid too big a price for us not to benefit from everything he accomplished for you and for me. The enemy wants to steal it from you. He wants to take it from you. He wants you to live in degradation and guilt and condemnation. But he's come too late. Because I don't have to earn my faith. I don't have to work up faith. All I need to know is the author and finisher of my faith. Everybody say Jesus. Say it like me. Say Jesus. In the Old Testament, obedience was required to receive the blessing. Deuteronomy 28 says that the blessing of God is more than just a new car or a house or food or money. It is the root to the fruit. It is the blessing of God. I don't care where you go. If God's inside you and you have the blessing on you and you do, if you're born again, it don't matter how much you gain or what you lose. He'll give it to you again. You need to hear what I said. What you have lost, he can give you again. You say, I don't know if I believe that. Look at Job. Look at Job. Job suffered for a time, but God gave him everything back, multiplied in some short few months. Are you listening? In the Old Testament, obedience was required to receive the blessing. You had to do something first before God could give you something. You had to do something first before you could receive from God. Okay? That's Old Testament. But when Jesus went to the cross, we went from the old covenant to the new covenant. Hallelujah. It's no longer what you do first. It's the perfect obedience of Jesus that we are righteous. It's because of his love that we are blessed. It is because of his sacrifice that we have forgiveness of sins. The blessing is upon us, the Gentiles who have been engrafted into the family of God because of what he did. Everybody say, first. Jesus did it first, and now I'm able to receive. Keep the commandments and be saved, old covenant. Believe and receive what Jesus did for us and be saved in the new covenant. Jesus is saying this to us. Because I have forgiven you, you can forgive others. Because I loved you, you can love me. I never got anything. I never gave anything to anybody or anything to Jesus or to the Father or to the Holy Spirit that they didn't give me first. He loved me first. He forgave me first. I've never had to forgive God. Glory to God. We've all been trained, hear this, that in order to get results from God, we had to have faith first. I got to get my faith out there. But that's not the way it started. God commended his love towards us, Romans 5:5, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died and gave everything. Everything, 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 everything you'll ever need happened because of that blood and the water that came out of his side. The blood and the water, the blood and the water, the blood and the word, the blood and Jesus. Hallelujah! Everything I need is in that cross. Hallelujah. But I think I got to get my faith out there in order to prosper and to get healing and to get deliverance. Oh, no, no, no. I don't get faith first. I get Jesus first. Jesus is my faith. Jesus is my grace. Well, I'll prove it. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Put it up there, please. Looking to Jesus. Looking at Jesus. You know what? If I'm messed up, it's because I've got my eyes off him. If I don't have faith, it's because I'm not looking to Jesus. If I don't have power, it's because I'm not intimate with him. Let's put Ephesians 2, 8, 9. I don't even know if I gave it to you. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. You see, for by grace are you saved through faith. Is it up there? For by grace are you saved through faith. That's the NLT. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Grace and faith are the gift of God. Who is the gift of God? Who is the gift of God? Not what? Who? Say it loud. Jesus is the gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. What? What is the gift of God? Grace and faith. But who was the gift of God? Jesus. So who is faith and who is grace? Jesus. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everything you're ever going to get, you're going to get because you have Jesus. And he gives you faith. Quit trying to get faith by just reading words on a page. You don't need to know the words on the page. You need to know the word of the page. Will you know him? Will you worship him? When you spend time with him, his word comes alive. And it changes me. It changes me. He is my grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. But many people don't understand. Grace is empowerment. Grace is the power of God, Paul said. So if you've got grace, you've got power. If you've got grace, it's because you've got Jesus. If you've got faith, it's because you've got Jesus. Quit trying to get faith. Just get Jesus. Faith comes by? And hearing by? Hearing by the Jesus who is the word. So before you read the word, the logos, the written word, you need to love on Jesus. You need to get acquainted with Jesus. How do you get acquainted with Jesus? You keep praising him, honey, whether we feel it or not. We praise him in the seasons when we just soon cuss. Are you listening to me? When we'd rather run, when we'd rather die, my mouth will continually praise him.
My mouth will continually give honor to him. I don't feel it. I feel just the opposite. But I must praise him because he is the one from which comes all my help. When everything seems to be going down and I don't have very much faith, I got a little faith, but ain't enough faith. You just need to realize you're just like Peter. You're just like Peter. Go ahead, put him up there. I got to close with this. Go ahead, put him up there. Oh, okay, I'll tell you. It's Matthew 14:25-32. Hallelujah. This is what my boys do. Oh, there it is. Now, Papa, is ice cream ready yet? TV's not on. Papa! And then when they get really disgusted, they'll go like this. All their lives. Oh, Lord. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Hallelujah. Come to the piano and make it seem more dramatic. Next verse. Here's a good sign. When I finish one verse, that's a good clue to go to the next verse. Yeah. There he comes. I felt it. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." You know what that's saying? When you're afraid, start worshiping Jesus. He said, "Be of good cheer. I'm here." You know why I worship? Hi, ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. My boys, when they're upset, my girls, when they're upset, when they just start, "Oh, no, Papa, there's a boogeyman. There's a boogeyman. There's a boogeyman. There's a boogeyman." I said, "No, I'm here and Jesus is here." They go, "Oh, Papa's wonderful." Why don't you do that to Jesus? I said, "Why don't you do that to Jesus? You start praising him. You start worshiping him. He'll take out the sword and make ribbons of the devil." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Well, what could Jesus do? "No, it ain't me." He says, "It's me." Anytime you ask him, "Are you Jesus?" He'll say, "Yeah, come. I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Everybody say that. What's that say up there? Say it. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Notice in every single time, I could show you when he fed the 5,000. He said, "Master, we have no bread." He says, "Oh, you of little faith." He says, "Don't you see me? I'm here. You want faith? See Jesus. Don't work up your faith. Don't try to conjure it. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. When you're afraid, when you're so tormented, you don't know what to do, no matter what your soul tells you, 'I don't feel nothing. I've watched it in action.' Just lift up your hands and praise Jesus. If I die, I want to be praising Jesus." He honors that. Hallelujah. He says, "I'm afraid. I'm afraid." But to get out of the boat, to walk in this life, to have been born again, the thing you had to do was look to Jesus. In order for Peter to get out of the boat, he had to look at Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, when he looked at Jesus, people have criticized him, but when he looked at Jesus, he walked on water. He defied gravity. He said, "The natural things don't apply to me now. Though the doctor says I'm sick and I gotta die, natural things don't apply to me now because I got my eyes on Jesus. and I'm walking on the water. I'm doing the impossible. I'm defying natural laws, because if I keep my eyes on Jesus, all I got to do is hear the words, come, come. I hear the word in the Old Testament, come, buy, eat. He says, you don't need money. You don't need to sell. Just come and everything will be free. What was the price? Coming, hearing the word to come. Jesus, Jesus, is that you? Can I come to you? He's telling you, come. Come all ye that are weak and heavily laden. He says, oh, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'll give you bread. In order for you to get out of the boat, you had to get your eyes on Jesus. In order for Peter to get out of the boat and walk on water, he had to keep his eyes on Jesus. And when he lost his gaze, he went down. Begin to sink. Are you sinking in life today? Are you hurting? There's one thing you need to do above all else. No matter what the devil's told you about Jesus, just turn your eyes on Jesus, because he's your source. The moment Peter got to where he was sinking, he had enough sense to turn and say, Jesus! He turned his eyes back on him, didn't he? Help me! And Jesus stretched out his hand. 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 Do you know what a drowning man or woman thinks about a hand that is stretched out and pulling them to safety? It's life. Is Jesus your source? I'll prove to you Jesus was Peter's source, because when he says, Jesus, help me, Jesus stretched out his hand. Jesus is your source when everything seems to be failing. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you can see Jesus, you can be healed. If you can see Jesus, you can be free. If you can talk to Jesus, you can be delivered. If you can worship the Lamb, you can become like the Lamb. He can sanctify you. He can heal you of the pornography. He can heal you of the adultery. He can heal you of the addictions. He can heal you of the anger. He can heal you of the resentment. He can heal you of the insecurities. He can heal you. He can heal you. All you need to do is worship Him. All you need to do is to hear His voice. All you need to do is focus your eyes on Jesus. Faith and grace will come. Because I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. For the Lord says, come. Now, you got your eyes back on me. Let's dance on the water together. Hallelujah! You may think it's silly, but I'm going to dance on the water of life, and I'm going to go with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to dance. I said, I'm going to dance. Anybody want to dance? Does anybody want to dance? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands, and let's lift our hands towards Jesus. The focus. Looking at Jesus, we can dance on the water. Looking at Jesus, we can be healed. Looking in Jesus, he can create a right spirit. He can renew a right heart in us. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.